Oh, snap. Wake up, stand up, and snap out of it. Take the risk right out of it. Wake up, stand up, snap out of it. Change your mind, begin again. Just snap.
Oh, we've got to snap out of it because I am telling you, I have heard so many things about dog food. Tell me if you've ever heard this one. Feeding dogs raw meat is dangerous and makes them bloodthirsty. Or how about, I've been feeding my dog the same kibble for years and he loves it. Or my favorite one is, my dogs don't eat meat. She's a vegetarian just like me. Or how about this one? I don't feed just any kibble. I give my dog premium grain-free kibble. Or I asked my vet and she said, no, raw diets aren't balanced. I mean, what is the truth? Well, tune in each week as we answer your questions, dispel the myths, misconceptions, and sometimes even the ridiculous information floating around about the raw dog food diet. This is the raw dog food truth. Hello, everybody. I'm your host, Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, pet lover and passionate advocate of the Prey Model raw dog food diet. Why? Well, because I've been feeding raw for over 16 years, and I've seen the extreme health benefits a raw diet makes in the life and performance of our beloved cats and dogs. And I know, like me, you want your pets to stay on this earth with you for as long as possible, and that's why you need to know the truth about your health, the raw dog food movement. Co-hosting with me is Carmen Goudreau, a 23-year veteran of the raw dog food diet. And Carmen, you know, just isn't your ordinary raw feeder. I mean, she is what many would call an expert on the benefits, on the myths, the misconceptions, and unsubstantiated fears of the raw diet for dogs. Now, listen, Carmen is with me today. Carmen happens to have 19 dogs with her as we're talking, so you may hear an occasional bark. But, Carmen, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Dee Dee.
I am so excited for you and I to be doing this show together because how much misinformation is really out there, Carmen, about feeding dogs a raw dog food diet?
Well, that's the problem, Dee Dee. It's all myth because, you know, none of that has been founded scientifically, you know, to prove that it is not good for dogs. It's great for dogs. That's the problem. So the people who are making these myths up really are not looking at science. They're looking at the myth and believing them. That's the problem.
Well, and seeing is believing, is it not? I mean, Carmen, you've been doing this for over 23 years. You were doing the raw diet before people really knew anything about it. But tell us about what led you to looking for a healthier way to feed your dogs and what you've seen from that process.
Well, it started out very innocently. It's not like I, you know, said I'm going to feed raw. It all started out from a fantastic dog, a Bouvier that I had gotten. And he wouldn't eat kibble. He just wouldn't touch it. I would put, you know, different kibbles down, and he would look at it, and then he'd look at me, and he wouldn't eat it. I tried putting gravy on it. I tried the bacon grease stuff. I tried canned dog food, and he would just look at me like, you're crazy, lady. And he was a show dog, and I would show him, and the judges would say, beautiful dog, way too skinny, way too thin. So when he was a year and a half old, I just got so tired of switching dog foods from kibbled dog food to kibbled dog food. And then a few other things happened with this dog. And the major thing that was really the impetus for me changing was the fact that he got a bladder infection. And from this bladder infection, I mean, we're talking rounds of antibiotics. And the second he would be off the antibiotic, bladder infection will be back. So we went antibiotics for 10 months, three different veterinarians and Colorado State University Veterinary Hospital, small animal hospital, and nobody could solve this. You know, everybody went through the same process and with the same results that you have to use antibiotics. And the only difference I got at Colorado State University at this time was that they wanted to do a biopsy of his bladder in order to prove that it wasn't cancer, and cancer of the bladder. And I would not allow that to happen, and so I was very discouraged. And it just so happened, a couple weeks from that 10-month period, I was to attend a week-long seminar on canine and feline nutrition in Chicago, which when I got there and they handed us the book, and the book is a postdoctoral study for veterinarian students for nutrition, each day, 8 hours each day, we just went through this book. And every day I kept saying, that's my dog. That's what's happening with my dog. This is what's happening with my dog. And then at the end of this seminar, and all the seminar was about new cats and dogs, but it was also about how to solve these problems by using raw feeding dogs and cats. Whether it's ear infections, whether it's bladder infections, whether it's poor skin and coat, you name it. I mean, they talked about the grains and how certain grains make an acidic urine and certain grains make an alkalized urine and where your dog's urine should be in the pH scale. Everything was very detailed and very scientific. So when I got home from that seminar, I had five dogs at the time, and I changed the one dog that had been having the bladder infections and only him to the raw dog food. Now, the other things you have to remember about this dog was, first of all, every week I had to scale and polish his teeth because the tartar and plaque accumulation was just horrendous. His ears were goopy and, ooshy. You know, whenever you'd pet him on the ears, you could hear it. It was absolutely gross. Besides this bladder infection that was 10 months along. So I slowly switched him to raw dog food, put down his regular bowl. Of course, remember, he wouldn't eat. I put the three little meatballs of raw meat on the side of the bowl because they said this is how you start and transition them into raw, which I did. And, of course, he just gobbled down the raw food and looked at me like, okay, I'm not going to eat the kibble, so what else are you going to give me? So I didn't push it. Of course, it was very tempting to just put out a pound of raw meat for him, but I didn't want the digestive upsets that might come from it. So I did the transition period like I was supposed to, and within 7 days, he was eating all raw. Everything changed about this dog. His ears cleared up, his bladder infection went away without any antibiotics, and I no longer had to scale and polish his teeth every week. It was just amazing. In October of this year that we've been going, the 10 months of bladder infections, I had a recheck up at Colorado State University Vet Hospital. And when I went, they did the entire usual routine of flushing his bladder, checking his urine, everything, the ultrasound of the bladder, and they go, it's gone. The bladder infection's gone. And so, of course, they attributed it to the antibiotics. And they kind of hinted about what did I change or what did I do. But his bladder, you have to remember, his bladder was 10 millimeters thick and very raw and shedding blood clots. After the raw diet, his bladder thickness had gone, returned back to the normal 3 millimeter thickness and no longer shedding blood clots. He almost died in that 10 months of the blood clots that would go down the urethra and block it. Twice I had to rush him to the emergency room to have him catheterized to relieve the pressure of the bladder and so he could breathe again. The bladder was so huge, it would shove all his abdominal organs into his lungs and he couldn't even breathe. He could breathe, but it was gasping. And it was all gone after I changed him to the raw diet, because everything this dog instinctively knew, this is what he was supposed to eat, was raw. And once he was on raw, the weight went on. Everything happened the way it was supposed to. We'd go to the dog shows, and he was winning because he was the right weight and happy. I mean, just he was one of these one-in-a-million dogs that anything you gave him to do, anything you showed him to do or trained him to do, he was there to do it and do it at 100%. He was a one-in-a-million dog, and I'm so happy I went to the extent I did to research what I'm doing and feeding raw. Now, after I saw the health changes in this dog, I changed all of the other four dogs that I owned at the time to raw dog food and saw what I thought were just what I thought were normal dogs that didn't have the health problems he had. And then I saw the changes in them also, even though there wasn't anything clinically wrong with them. It was amazing to watch their transformations also in health. I mean, from personality and temperament to coat, nails, everything. It was just such a dramatic change in all five dogs. I've never, ever looked back and only feed raw.
You know, we hear that, Carmen, from so many of our dog clients from Raw Dog Food and Company, the raw dog food that we sell. And we meet so many different breeds, from people who show the dogs like you do, from people who are breeders, and from people who just want to give their dogs the very best food possible. But the thing that we do hear over and over again is about the coat, how soft it is, how shiny it is, and also that doggy smell goes away, teeth are clean, ears are clean, and the poop is a lot less, you know, because it's not all this filler. Not all this filler that goes into those commercial foods. It is food that actually is absorbed and used by the body. So their poops are much less, and they tend to turn kind of chalky and blow away after a certain amount of time. But I want to ask you, Carmen, what do you think the biggest fear? Because obviously, I mean, you were doing this back when there wasn't much information, when there wasn't as much support and products, the blends. You know, today, Raw Dog Food and Company, we blend the muscle meat, the bone, the right ratios. Back when you were doing this, I would imagine you had to find out what the ratios were and blend them yourself.
But right.
What do you think the biggest fear for people today is regarding the raw diet?
Well, most of all, veterinarians are going to tell you it's not balanced, all right? And then the other majority of them go, oh, we're afraid of E. coli and salmonella poisoning, okay? And both of those miss wrong. First of all, you can, whether you buy an already, you know, blended dog raw diet for your dog, they are balanced. Or you can, if you do your research and you know where your vitamins and minerals come in your different organ meats and your different muscle meats and your bone, you can balance it yourself also. You know, we are entrusted with our own nutrition. Some of us do well with it and some of us don't. But if you do your research on raw feeding of your dog, you're going to be very happy with the results. The one thing, Dee Dee, that I didn't say in talking about my first dog that I fed raw to, the one thing, I'm now on my 11th dog that I feed raw to, and I get, on the average, you know, 2 to 4 years longer than what my breed standard says my dog's supposed to live. And I get it without all the health problems, without kidney and liver problems, without diabetes. So I have not had one dog yet with any of these, or guess what, arthritis.
Mm.
So
Yeah, that's prevalent. Prevalent in the bigger breeds.
And that's pretty amazing. Do it without the arthritis.
Well, because the raw diet is not causing any type of inflammation in their body, right?
Right. So the most important thing about this, Dee Dee, is the digestibility of this food. There are no fillers in a raw diet. And that's why your poop doesn't stink and your pee doesn't stink, because the kidney and liver are not working overtime to break this down. The enzymes are present in the raw dog food because it's not heated over 115 degrees Fahrenheit to kill the enzymes. Even if you freeze raw meat, the enzymes are there. As soon as it comes back to room temperature, they're still active. They're still helping the dog break this down. If you're always feeding a cooked diet, a kibble diet, whether you even cook your own meals for your dog, all the enzymes have to be produced by the dog's pancreas to break this food down. Yes, digestion starts in the mouth. Through the saliva, there's enzymes that are present when the dog actually picks the food up and puts it in his mouth and chews. And then, of course, it's swallowed and goes to the stomach, and that's where primary digestion starts and more enzymes are added. But if you are feeding a raw diet, the digestibility is so high, like you pee are so small, and they don't stink. And guess what? If you leave it there long enough, yes, it does dry up and blow away. But the most important part is you're saving your dog's kidneys and liver and pancreas. They do not produce these enzymes in a finite manner their entire life. Amylase, which is the enzyme that breaks down carbohydrates, in females starts to decline by 80% by the time females are 6 years old. For some reason, the males seem to produce amylase longer, and the decline starts when they're about 8 years old. But you know what? There's a lot of dogs out there that don't have even those years of the amylase production. And that's when you get into problems of whether it's pancreatic insufficiency, you name it. But you can tell a dog that's having problems absorbing the nutrients from the dog, from the food they're eating, just by looking at eyes, ears, skin, and coat and nails. Just like when you see a very pretty woman, you can tell, is she healthy or not, by looking at her eyes, looking at the beautifulness of her hair and the peachy, peachy complexions that they have. You can tell health in a dog the same way as you can in a human. Okay? So the most important part is saving your dog from the suffering of not getting the nutrients they need and all the health problems that come with not getting the nutrients they need. I mean, my last dog that I had to put down at 14 years old, walked in without any arthritis to the vet, and what gave out was her heart. It was just tired, they said, because, you know how you just torment over making the decision of taking him in to having him euthanized. And I was doing exactly that because she was still eating, you know, she was still getting up and moving around. And there was just this in my gut that said it was time. And so I took her in, and the vet looked at me when he gave them the sedative before they give them the euthanasia drug. He looked at me after the sedative, and he goes, "She's gone. Her heart was ready to go." He goes, "This was time."
Aww.
But by law, he had to give her the drug for euthanasia. So he did, but she was already gone. So he just said her heart was gone. It was tired and old, but she had no arthritis, no diabetes, no congestive heart failure, you know, none of the no liver or kidney problems. So it's to me, it's well worth it. The higher, some people say, well, it's the high cost of a raw diet is the reason why I don't feed it. Well, the savings from the vet bills, to me, are well worth feeding raw.
Exactly. And the years that you get the extended years that you get with your pet. And you know,
right.
They give us such joy, such unconditional love. And it is when they go, even if they're ready to go, as you just talked about your sweet dog, it is a pain like no other. It is very different. It's a very different pain than it is when a human dies. Because
right.
to me, there's no bad memories. There's no fights. There's no water under the bridge. It's just unconditional, pure love that we get from our animals.
Right. The
you
pure
know,
love,
one,
the companionship, they give everything back for very little that we give them.
Exactly.
They do.
And, you know, it's, I don't know where we got this idea, Carmen, that dogs prefer to eat the same dry dog food every day of their life. Where did we get this idea? You know, what we find, especially because we have so many different products from lamb to goat to sheep to chicken to fish, turkey, wild boar. We have all these different products. And from all of the different customers that we have, we know that dogs have a preference. Dogs have a preference for what they eat.
They have a palate. Guess what? They have a palate. They do have likes and dislikes, even when it comes to feeding raw protein. Okay? So, and you don't like eating the same food day after day after day. And guess what? They don't either. So switching it up is also beneficial, not only from a palate standpoint, Dee Dee, it's beneficial from the different amino acids profiles that each different protein has. It's also different in the amount of fatty acids, essential fatty acids that come from the different proteins and organ meats. So switching a dog's diet from chicken to beef to lamb to fish and rotating all the time is very much what the wild dogs used to do. They didn't catch the same thing every day and eat it when they were out in the wild, which these dogs are all descendants of the wolf, biologically and scientifically. So guess what? We should not keep them strictly on the same food protein all the time either, especially even raw. I mean, kibble food, I mean, I don't see how the dogs that eat kibble food can look at it and put it down bag after bag after bag. To me, I mean, they're either starving.
And you know, and exactly. And that's sort of this mentality that we've come to think is humane and okay. I hear people say all the time, well, if my dog won't eat, I just pick it up. And they don't tend to think the dog is trying to communicate, this stuff is crap.
Right.
I don't want it. It's not good for me. You know, they just simply pick it up and say, well, when he's hungry enough, he'll eat.
Well, Dee Dee, isn't it kind of scary, though, if you can put kibble dog food down on the floor in a bowl and the dog just nibbles at it here and there all day long? And you put a bowl of raw meat down on the floor, and it's gone in seconds. I mean, I've never seen yet in all the dogs that I care for and own myself personally, I've never seen yet putting a bowl down of raw meat, and it lasts or stay on the floor more than 10 seconds. It's gone. They eat it.
Yeah, and
they love it.
They do, And you and I are going to have so much fun on this show going over all of the different myths, misconceptions, and talking about some of these different products that we have, especially for picky eaters, because I hear a lot of people say, well, I have a really picky eater. And we have a product, and I know you buy this one a lot. It's the green tripe, and it is the stinkiest. It's the stomach of the cow. and it's the stinkiest, but the dogs love it. The dogs love it, and it's one of the best proteins for them, is it not?
Well, not only the most important thing about tripe, green tripe, not bleached tripe, green tripe, is that it has all the essential fatty acids that a dog needs. The omega-3s, the 6s, the 9s, the 7s, you name it. Tripe has them all. Not only that, Dee Dee, it has the probiotics from the cow's stomach. When it's green, it still has all these wonderful probiotics, which then dogs need in their gut, just like we need probiotics in ours, to help break the food down to small enough molecules to transfer in the intestines into the bloodstream. It aids digestion and balances the colon to where you get the most beautiful poops that you'd ever want to see. And they love it. We always use tripe to encourage failure to thrive puppies to eat and elderly dogs back to eating if they've lost their appetite. They love it that much because dogs eat by their sense of smell, not by their sense of taste like cats do. So the stinkier something is, Dee Dee, the more they go for it. And that's how kibble dog food gets away with getting dogs to eat it. They make it smell. And if it doesn't smell, most dogs just sit there and look at it. So,
yeah,
you know, the
one thing that we have to do is get our owners past the smell. We have a lot of new clients, and they'll order the tripe. And we have to tell them, we have to say, now listen, I want you to be prepared. It does stink, but we want to let them know how good it is for the dog. But you and I have been doing it so long that we could probably reach in the bowl, you know, the raw dog food and pull it out by our hands now and put it in the bowl. I don't even notice it anymore because I've been doing it, you know, for 16 years. But and consequently, I have to tell you that my dachshund, my sweet little Doc was his name. I put him on raw when he was 2. Not that he was in bad health at all, but one of my neighbors had a dog who was simply on death's door. I hadn't even heard about the raw diet. Was telling me how his dog bounced back, very much like the story that you just told. And I said, well, heck, nothing is too good for my dog. So I put Doc on a raw diet, and he lived to 17 years old. I mean, he was just, you know, fierce and amazing. And I was so grateful that I had that time with him. And all of our dogs are on raw, as are our kids, you know, dogs. So we definitely, and by the way, our daughter is also a vet. Our daughter is also a vet. So we don't, not all vets are opposed to the raw diet. Most of them are. We're going to talk about that in our future shows. But we do have some that are open to it. Well, listen, Carmen, I'm so glad that you joined me. I'm excited about our time on the Raw Dog Food Truth that is coming up on Tuesdays at 2:00. We want to encourage you to call in, ask Carmen your questions. You can always call in at 657-383-1511. Join us every Tuesdays. We're going to be tackling different myths. And you can also read about all of the myths that are kind of floating around out there. You can find that at rawdogfoodandcompany.com. So, Carmen, thank you so much. And listen, Carmen, what do we always tell people? We always say,
friends don't let friends feed kibble.
That's right. Friends don't let friends feed kibble. All right, everybody, thank you so much for joining us here at the Raw Dog Food Truth. We will see you next week. Bye-bye, everybody.
Oh, snap.
Wake up, stand up, and snap out of it. Take the risk right out of it. Wake up, stand up, snap out of it. Change your mind, begin again. Just snap.